So I'm going to answer some of the questions, and this is the first question is, it seems to me that in order to progress from bodhicitta of intention to action bodhicitta, I need to have 100% conviction about the bodhisattva path. I'm not sure that I have truly achieved this yet. Is the right attitude to keep studying and practicing and hope that this will eventually happen? It is not that I consciously have doubts about the path, but rather that I'm unsure whether it has really permeated my whole being. I think both intention as well as action bodhicitta, it has to develop, it has to grow, it has to, progress. If everybody has immediately you hear the, teachings and then you have the 100% intention and 100% action, then why do we talk about, training in the bodhisattva path for, countless eons? So this is not to be expected. If you have a little bit of kindness, if you have a little bit of, concern for others, if you feel that I need to, work for the benefit of others, even a little bit, and you try to do something a little bit, that is, I think, the right way. It is not to be expected to be perfect. And if you do that, then something is wrong. This then it means that you don't understand it. You expect too much. Then the second conditional question is, I want to read ahead in the text to learn about the six paramitas. I thought the first paramita was generosity, but I could not see a chapter with this heading. Could you kindly clarify? It's true. There is no chapter called generosity. But the first chapter and the last chapter, that is the dedication, is about generosity because it's about, the intention of helping others and then dedicating all your positive deeds towards others. So these two are about the giving or the generosity. Next question is, could you please say something about developing bodhicitta in steps? It is difficult for most of us to even conceive of all sentient beings, let alone feel empathy for them. How do we move from a small circle of empathy to make it wider so that it eventually covers all sentient beings? Although we must work for their enlightenment, shouldn't we also wish them all forms of mundane happiness as long as this is not destructive to them or others? I think you didn't hear me saying that again and again, that just to wishing that people be free from any kind of suffering. I think I emphasize this over and over again, any kind of sufferings, and to have any kind of happiness. So that means not only enlightenment, that means any kind of, we have lots of problems. Everybody has lots of problems that we see. And so therefore, when we see them having sickness and we want to get them out of that sickness, that's compassion. If we see them hungry and we want them to be free from hunger, if they are under a very kind of great atrocity and we want to free them from there, and that is also, so it's not necessary. Of course, if you go deeply, then you will find that unless you have a way of understanding and experience on how to, you know, free yourself from any kind of problems and pain, you know, and inner understanding, inner experience. Other than that, solving problems of hunger, solving problems of, you know, this and that, is not a permanent solution. Therefore, you know, to that when we understand that, then we would like to wish for enlightenment. But it's not only for enlightenment. I mean, enlightenment is a big thing. That's it. So we wish any good. And that's bodhisattva. Bodhisattvas sometimes, you know, work for the benefit of a certain, like, to give food or to drink or to give, you know, from certain kind of problems, they can spend life after life on that. So this is, you know, and also only for a small number of people. It is not that you wish them to all the beings who are like us, wherever they may be, whoever they may be. And that's nothing difficult to imagine, you know, all the beings like us, whether they are animals, whether they are human beings, whether they are other beings, wherever they are, maybe they are. But, you know, the main thing is to start, you know, the generosity starts at your home, you know, with yourself, with the closest person to you. So this is also very important to understand. It is said that the most important thing to do is to try to help the person who is next to you. You don't have to go very far. That's and starting from that, that's the most important thing. Then next question is, if there is a direct way, then exactly how do we just to free from suffering without always going in circle around it? I think what you mean is, if there's a direct way, means if you can become enlightened and then get rid of all the problems. Of course, that's not easy to understand. Like, people don't even want that. You know, people even don't know that there is something called enlightenment. We think that, you know, to get rid of, you know, like poverty, to get rid of hunger, to get rid of, you know, illiteracy and illness, and this is very, very important. It is important. It is important. But, you know, eventually we need something that gives us the kind of understanding how to, you know, and way of knowing, experiencing, and of how to liberate our own emotions and our own, you know, experience. And that is not, you know, that's what enlightenment is all about. But this is not most people understand, so therefore not even wish. So let us, it's not necessary that you have to start with that. Then, next question is, isn't the question, what do we all really want, as important as the answer? It may be true for every being that I want to be free from suffering, but if one has not found that out experientially, then one will not understand the power and consequences of that finding. It's very true. It's very true. And it's very important to find that, because we think that this is the, you know, like, I need to have, you know, like a car, a big car, you know, and that is the most important thing. And there are lots of people who think like that. Or I need to have lots of money, and that's the most important thing for me. And if I have money, then anything and everything is okay. So I can spend all my life doing that, you know, harming others, you know, going through all sorts of, you know, pain and problem for myself, And maybe I don't even find that. But even if I find that, I find some money, then you find afterwards that that's not the thing. You know, it doesn't bring everything, everything you want from that. So then, you know, you miss the point. Yeah? So therefore, if you know that, you know, it's not this thing or that thing, but what we really want is to be free from suffering, pain, problem. And so we have to look at where that pain and problem and suffering comes from. Then we have found a way to look at, you know, it's not that that's the solution, but we at least find where is the problem. You know? So this is also important. It doesn't mean to say that we should not, you know, solve any problem that we have, but experientially does not necessarily mean by suffering even more. What does this mean? Experientially does not necessarily mean by suffering even more, but maybe it is by making effort to honestly find out what I really want, through working with bodhicitta of intention and work for it through active bodhicitta. I mean, this is it's not that to find out what is really you want, there you don't need bodhicitta or you don't need bodhicitta action, bodhicitta intention. That you just have to look in yourself. It's in a kind of usual way. It's not, you know, it's nothing to do with the Dharma, nothing to do. You don't have to look with a certain, you know, kind of Buddhist perspective. That's totally wrong. It's not. There's no Buddhist perspective here. Everything Buddhism has no Buddhist perspective. We have to look in a kind of a logical way, the common sense, through our own experience. We are not talking about kind of becoming a Buddhist and then looking from a Buddhist way of looking. That's not right. We have to look from our own experience, from a human way of, or even as a sentient being way of looking, just to look, you know, directly and clearly, and, you know, blinded by any necessarily, you know, any philosophy or any kind of way of looking, just, you know, genuinely and honestly. Mm-hmm. And then maybe through this experience we clearly see there's nothing to stop us except our own confusion. But this is another matter. This also maybe we'll find through looking, but this is the solution. This is the solution, and this is a much more deeper thing to understand. But to first to find that what we really want, what I really want, what everybody really is looking for, what is the most important thing for us. And then try to look how that happens, you know, how that might come, because what is the real problem? What is, you know, what is the thing that is stopping us, you know, experiencing the freedom from suffering? What is bringing suffering? To understand that. And then slowly, so this is, you know, this is a not necessarily easy. Nobody is saying that all these things is completely easy or, you know, simple or things like that. Next question, it seems to be free to have peace of mind and joy, we have to leave behind a certain old state of mind, a mental and emotional clinging to a small world with habitual limits. This you have to find out. This one has to find out oneself. It's not that somebody tells you and you believe it. Is this what we are trying to make eventually happen when we start to ask ourselves what I really want? So we see beyond the limit and want to improve. So then once we really experience this new way of being very strongly, we finally just break free and the biggest problem just fades with no further confusion. Is the practice that we pose this question and reflect on it again and again, step by step, as long as necessary. Some of these questions are, you know, kind of ask the end from the beginning. You know, you cannot ask a question of the end when we have not yet started from the beginning. So it's not easy to give that kind of a answer. But so far, you know, we are talking about the bodhicitta intention and how important that is. So let us consider that. Let us work on that. Let us concentrate on that. Let us not jump to the end of the text. So, you know, and concentrate on how important the compassion is, how important a goodwill is, how important, you know, to feel, you know, that you want to, you know, work for the benefit of others is, how important compassion is, you know, this we concentrate on now, is one of the ways to develop active bodhicitta, to continually try to overcome aversion. So we are going to talk about these things when we come to this. So I think I must remind everybody that you should not go to the end and ask questions from there when we are in the beginning. So let us concentrate on the text that we are teaching now. Just concentrate on the stanza that we are going through and don't go to the end. So therefore, aversion, yes, aversion is a very important thing, but we will talk about later. For example, it says, when we find a situation difficult, like in the rush hour, in a tube train, when it's very crowded, would that be a good opportunity, or in a social or work situation, if someone is irritating, to make a strong effort to overcome that aversion? Yes, that's very important. We have to put it, we have to work on, you know, on our actual experience. We have to work on our actual experience. If we have to work on patience, then we have to work on, you know, when we are becoming impatient, then we have to work on that. We have to remind how important not to be so impatient, that it doesn't work, it is not good for me, it's not good for others. So this way, you know, you have to learn that, you know, being impatient doesn't do any good anyway. So by understanding this, you know, and then you, you know, kind of allow yourself to let be. So this way, you know, step by step. So you can't expect to progress, you know, like too quickly. Also, this is important. And also, I must say here that, you know, when people are debating like they are doing now, also try to debate on something that you understand. Don't debate on something you don't understand at all. So go down to the ground, you know. Don't talk about too high things and too complicated things and too, you know, too much deep things that we don't know anything about. If I don't know anything about anything, then how can I debate on it? How can I discuss it? So try to come down and talk about things that we understand, that is very, you know, on the kind of ground level, you know, at that things that we can actually understand and see. And then use logic. Don't say that I think like this and I like to, you know, see like this, or I like this because it must be like that. No, it's not like that. We should use logic. We should use reasons. We should use, you know, and those things that we don't understand, then we should use the experience of others, like quotations from the texts, and from the scriptures, and from the experience of Buddhas and great bodhisattvas. That's the way to discuss, and that's the way to work. So thank you very much. This is question number 9 that I've answered.